Welcome to Flyover Conservative Podcast with David and Stacey Whited, where we break down current events and examine culture through the lens of conservative Christian values.
You know, sometimes you don't know necessarily like the impact of what you're doing when you're doing it. You know, we started this podcast as a reaction to the fact of there were people saying things and not allowed to say it on the mainstream platforms that existed in January of 21. And so our goal was, hey, we can buy a couple of these, you know, we'll create a platform and do it. And they kind of grew and evolved, bobbed and weaved, lost YouTubes and different things. Now we upload every day to 60 different platforms, getting the message out. And looking back on these 3 years, I would have done everything we did, 3 years of mostly 12-hour days for one specific show that we did on a pharmaceutical being used on COVID patients called Remdesivir. Not a lot of people knew it at the time.
Saved a lot of lives.
I look back and feel like that show actually saved lives. Thousands of emails, comments, texts. It's one that still continues to live. This one specific guest, now we've had millions, literally millions and millions of views because he comes out and moves the needle in a way that is not on mainstream, but it actually saves lives, improves the quality of life more than anything else that we have done. And I'll tell you what, if I was going to hang my hat on one hook, looking back at it, it was worth everything for this one specific guest, Dr. Brian Artis.
Great to be back, Flyover Conservatives. How are you, Stacey and David?
Doing great.
You
know,
love it.
We like David said, we do absolutely love you. We love your family. We're so thankful for everything you're doing. I don't know if you realize this, but when you came in studio, so you and Jane flew here, we interviewed in studio, but with everything combined, all the clips coming out, all the different platforms, it was over 1 million views on that
just on that interview.
Interview that we did with you, and it's touched so many people's lives.
Thank goodness. I really appreciate all the hard work of individuals that are producing content and then distributing content, because as we're doing research and as we're discovering lies and antidotes, we need help getting that information to the masses. So I've always been super grateful for anybody who's created a platform where people can get trusted information and make informed decisions on behalf of their family.
Yeah, regardless of the decentralizing that stranglehold that used to be. There was only a couple of little spigots where people could get information and data. It was so manipulated and controlled. And while mainstream media is still manipulated and controlled with predetermined agendas by really 4, 5, maybe 6 people control everything you see on, you know, big television screens. Now there are thousands of people doing, you know, what we're doing. And, it's a game changer, and it's interesting to see, you know, how that will play out in the future. Mm-hmm. Because if you can't have a total stranglehold on information, it's really hard to control the masses. In some ways, that's scary because, like, well, what will they do then if they can't do that? And I don't know. But having access to information and letting people use their brains to decide what they're going to do. It truly, we're talking, it's close to like the printing press, you know, in human history, the ability to change the behavior of people and put the power back in their hands and actually make decisions based on having all the information. So not everybody has it. You know, some people still kind of go to MSNBC or whatever and like, okay, tell me what to do. They pray to the box and the box tells them what to do. But I tell you what, there is a big move worldwide for people to grab a hold of decentralized information and be able to use this to make decisions for their life. And literally it's saving lives.
Yeah. Actually, I imagine this is very similar to the period you would have found in Europe, where individuals are standing on street corners, handing out pamphlets, just trying to educate and send out as much information as possible amidst the disinformation of the churches, the scientific community, the political community. So yeah, this is actually the podcasters of this world, the radio interviewers, to me, remind me of that exact same era, but it permeates a lot more homes, a lot of ears, really quickly with the social media of the day, the digital world that we live in. Right?
And, yeah. Dr. Artis, your message is not just here in the United States. It has spread worldwide. In fact, you just got back from London this morning or last night or something, and you're just back in the States because they had you actually come there. Do you want to share with our audience what you were doing in London?
Yes, there actually is a clinic there called Battersea Clinic, and Battersea Park Clinic, and Alistair is the owner. And they had invited individuals who were owners of health clinics in, I think it was up to 12 or 16 different countries. Owners of these health clinics had come to London to come to a two-day conference there, and I was asked to come there and speak. So I was asked to come there and present to all these health professionals, medical professionals that were in the audience on a specific topic that the government of the UK are actually assaulting right now and wanting to remove by the year 2030 all access of their citizens to have. And this is not a joke. Since my Watch the Water documentary 2 years ago, the UK's government, there was a King's Speech just last year, and that speech declared by the year 2030, those in Britain and in the United Kingdom will have zero access to any commercially provided tobacco or nicotine products. So this is, and they started with a ban that anybody born after January 1st, 2009 will never be able to purchase any tobacco product in England. Yeah, so even the King's Speech just last year, they actually mentioned that no one born after January 1st of 2009, you'll see it highlighted on the screen there, anybody who's 14 years old at this point or older will not be able to purchase any tobacco products whatsoever in Britain. So I was asked to go to London to do presentations on why it is that governments around the world the last 2 years have all started national health agendas where they are taking commercially available tobacco products out of the hands of citizens. And so anybody after the year 2030 are going to have to either grow their own tobacco to produce any tobacco product of any kind, because these governments, the UK, so UK, England, we've got Canada, New Zealand, Australia, America have all now started and introduced new health agendas to completely ban all tobacco products and nicotine products from their citizens by the year 2030. So they all have these new agendas, either to raise taxes, ban certain ages, and those born after a certain date that doesn't allow the young generation to own it. And so when people constantly were coming up to me in London asking me about the presentation, and they wanted to know how significant is this compared to all other topics and health things promoted in the last 4 years, zinc supplementation, NAC, the FDA coming after that. What about hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin? I mean, we constantly are asked about that. They wanted to know, where does this lay on the scale of significance, this nicotine topic? And I said, notice none of the other drugs you're talking about are countries banning from right. their entire citizens. There's only one. And they know why this one is so important. It actually was the number one thing that kept anybody from getting sick with a bioweapon they called COVID-19. And therefore, those individuals were the least likely to ever accept the vaccine agenda. And they cannot tolerate dissent from their agenda. And in order for their future pandemics to equal into more vaccines being accepted on a higher percentage, they're going to have to make sure individuals get sick. Well, the people who get sick are going to be the only ones demanding their vaccines and pleading for a savior drug. So as long as nicotine is available as a preventative against all weaponized viruses that are venom proteins, they have to get nicotine out of, one, your respect and visual acceptance. They have to bastardize it and make you like totally doubt it and judge it and want it out of your life and out of your family's lives. So they have to propagandize and make you believe something inaccurate about that substance. And then, of course, they've got to lie to you about what it does, that it is addictive and that it causes cancer, which it does neither. But they've had to lie to you for years. It just so happened science figured out during the first year of COVID that there was only one group of people who seemed immune to the COVID-19 weapon called a virus, they wanted to say, and that was smokers and snuff users. So they were the ones that were surviving the most. In fact, in the presentation we just did in Los Angeles and in London that I was asked to come and do there, it's pretty ridiculous. In hospitals during COVID, if a current smoker ended up in the ICU with COVID, the individuals were dying by day 5 until doctors started putting a nicotine patch on the smokers who could not smoke in the hospital because you're in an ICU.
Right.
Yeah.
The moment they put nicotine patches on all of them, I go through all the studies. Every single person went home by day 5. But before that, they had lost 5 people out of 69 in the COVID ward. 5 of them had already died. they started putting nicotine patches on all of them, and 100% of them all went home.
Wow. Okay, because I, you know, obviously we've been talking to you for a while, helping to get this message out. But maybe somebody's listening today and they're like, what in the heck are you guys talking about? You know,
smoking's clearly bad for you.
Yeah, smoking is terrible for you. What kind of
doctor is it?
Yeah, so kind of go over that because you kind of addressed it. But if somebody's brand new and they've never heard of nicotine being used in this, can you kind of catch them up to speed?
Sure. All right, so everyone, I'm assuming in the audience, Stacy and David, have heard of something called long haulers COVID. Mm-hmm. This would be you got a mild case of COVID at some point since 2020, and you've had ever since then lingering and worsening symptoms of all kinds, loss of taste and smell, high blood pressure, diabetes, can't control your blood sugar all of a sudden, tinnitus, ringing in your ears, brain fog, chest pain. And these things have only happened since having a mild case of COVID. And these things are lasting for years. In January of 2023, this is where we'll begin with the summary. January of 2023, scientists decided to take individuals from around the world who had multiple of these symptoms they called long hauler COVID. But every one of these people they were going to include in this study and experiment had to have already been trying drugs like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, steroids like prednisone, and they had to have tried rehab and occupational therapy techniques and modalities to try to restore these senses that they had lost. And they had to have their symptoms, none of them improving, for over a year and a half to be included in the study. When they came in, the researcher's next question was, have you ever used any tobacco products in your entire life or nicotine products? And they all had to say, no, I've never used a nicotine product. Okay, great. Those were the only people that they included in this study. And they asked them all to wear a nicotine patch for 6 days only. And they wanted to know what happens when we put a nicotine patch on you, and had to explain to these nicotine naive people, because they'd never used nicotine before, why it is they were proposing they wear nicotine patches. So what they quoted to these people was, in the year 2020, every country in the world that did DNA testing to find out what was making their citizens sick had published, every country, that the DNA of the antibodies that is attacking in the person's sickness or illness, it was found that the cause of their symptoms were snake venom proteins that are targeting in the human body nicotine receptors on every cell. And in the beginning of COVID, by April of 2020, DNA experts had already figured out that it was snake venom proteins that was in COVID-19 patients making them sick. And on the screen, what you're seeing right now are actual screenshots right out of the nicotine patch study for the individuals who had long hauler COVID symptoms for over a year and a half that were getting worse. And what you're seeing on the screen is the red bar for this one individual. The red bar on the graph is the days they used nicotine, which was only 6 days. There are 4 days before the red line that goes up for the first days wearing the nicotine patch. 4 days before that, they start charting their symptoms and telling on a scale of 0 to 8 how intense their symptoms are. And then they wear the patch for 6 days and chart each day how severe each of their symptoms are, their long hauler symptoms. And what you notice on this screen is there is a day after the 6th day of wearing the nicotine patches, there's a day a few days later where 100% of all their long hauler COVID symptoms disappeared. And what you learn from the study is within the first 3 days of wearing a nicotine patch, half of all of their symptoms they'd had for 2 years were completely gone. They were only asked to wear the nicotine patch for 6 days. They followed up with every one of these patients 6 months later, and not a single COVID-19 symptom had returned that they had struggled with for 2 years to remit. There's another one. That's the next person. So in this one, you can see they wore the nicotine patch, the red bar, and you'll see this fluctuation during the patch wearing where you'll see their symptoms were getting worse and better, worse and better, worse and better, and then they just all disappear and go to zero. Within day, I think in this case, day 23, I think is the last day this person had any symptoms. But this person had these symptoms for 2 years, and you see the list at the bottom of the screenshot. Loss of taste and smell, tinnitus, dizziness, chest pain, memory dysfunction. These are all the things they dealt with for 2 years. totally eradicated with 6 days of nicotine.
So I'd assume that, I would assume the very next move then for the World Health Organization would be implementation of nicotine patches for everybody suffering with these symptoms worldwide. And it probably caught the headlines of every major news outlet.
Of course.
I mean, isn't that why you saw everybody lined up in the Home Depot parking lots and Lowe's parking lots to get their nicotine patches slapped on them by the World Health officials?
Because no, that's a pretty good.
You saw injections of one needle after another.
Unbelievable. Okay, let me ask you a question. Why in this experiment did they want people that hadn't had tobacco use in their past? Do you know?
Yeah, because they wanted to prove that this wasn't benefits of nicotine from someone who's ever used nicotine in their whole life. So they wanted to showcase, we want people that have never, ever, ever put nicotine in their body whatsoever that they're aware of from a tobacco product. And then we're just going to have them use nicotine and let's see what happens in just 6 days of ever being introduced to nicotine in their life that they're aware of. And they actually say in the study that the results and their symptoms went from immediately being resolved to complete remittance in just a matter of days. And then they said nicotine agents and their therapeutic value is by far superior to anything else being used in medicine today. Okay.
Wow. Well,
you might want to start talking about the nicotine patches.
You'll see right there.
Look at that. You'll see.
This is great news. This people should be
everybody
in the streets
should know about this.
Celebrating.
Yeah. And I want to tell the audiences here off record before we went on to record this. I mentioned that I was in Michigan a few weeks ago and somebody had watched, someone ran up to me right when I walked into the building of this huge casino and hotel for this conference. This lady comes running up to me. Dr. Artis, I came here just to tell you, I watched a few months ago your antidote interview with Jason Shurka, which was right after doing my interview with you guys. And we did that several hour long on all kinds of topics. Yep. Then I was asked to just come to New York City and film an interview just on nicotine. And the team that produced it called it the antidote. And this has been seen by millions of people. It had like 12 million views on Twitter, wow, Instagram in like just a few days, as far as the clip and the trailer for it. But this is all about nicotine. This lady runs up to me in Michigan just 3 weeks ago and says, Dr. Artis, I watched the antidote. Then I invited every friend I could think of to come to my house to watch it the next day. And two of her friends, one had lost complete vision in one of her eyes, went 100% blind in one of her eyes after getting COVID.
Oh my gosh.
And her ophthalmologist and optometrist had confirmed that she lost 100% of her eyesight to a complication of getting COVID-19 and that she had permanent eye loss, sight loss, right? So she looks at me and says, and another friend was there who had lost 100% hearing in one of her ears from having COVID. Dr. Artis, these two individuals went to a pharmacy right from my home watching the antidote and chewed nicotine gum. And on the second day, my best friend's eyesight was restored 100%. And my other friend's hearing loss was completely restored by day three. And so the only other place I've read a miracle occurring to reverse blindness was Jesus in the New Testament. So this nicotine gum provided some miraculous thing I've never even heard anyone else ever say out loud in my lifetime, that they could reverse a permanent eye loss or vision loss called blindness. And for whatever reason, and nicotine gum in just a few days had done something miraculous.
So unbelievable.
These that are some awesome of the miraculous stories I've heard all around the world and why it is I'm continuing to being asked to be flown around the world.
Yeah.
In fact, there were 12 different countries represented in London by different health professionals and clinic owners. And I'm now being asked to fly to Belgium to do similar presentations and to South Africa while sitting in that room in England. So this is becoming some incredible journey of being able to educate more and inspire people around the globe. And thank you, David and Stacy, for being a part of that starting 3.5 years ago, I believe it was our first interview. Yep. So, anyway, it's an honor.
For the people listening, this is the first time they've heard this conversation. We will put the links down below to the interviews we've done with this before. We do have a cut of an in-person interview we did with you just about nicotine. Mm-hmm. But for people who've never heard anything about this and they're like, smoking's bad. I smoked when I was a teenager. I finally quit. You know, they're like celebrating that as like a victory. Talk about nicotine versus tobacco and that process, just to kind of clear that up, because you're not endorsing smoking and inhaling carcinogens as being a benefit. Mm-hmm. It is an ingredient. It's a man-made plant. Not man-made. It's a
God-made.
It's a God-made substance that's on the earth. And so talk about it and why it isolated is beneficial and the difference between it and smoking.
Yeah, this is a big topic. Most people are not educated whatsoever into this topic. I had to get real familiar before I started doing all of these interviews around the world the last 2.5 years about nicotine. I had to be able to confidently be able to convey this to you.
Yeah.
All of us have been lied to since 1994. And there is a presentation. I will show some highlights from that presentation probably in this interview. We'll share the screen here in a moment. But if you go to the drartistshow.com and you go to the patient resources tab, all of it's free. Just go there. There's a PowerPoint presentation that you just click on and download. There's one titled Nicotine PDF. This is a short PDF of a PowerPoint slide presentation there on the second row, Nicotine PDF. If you click that and it opens, it's only like a 15 PowerPoint slide. Takes audiences through real quickly why nicotine works to beat COVID. Then I did a presentation titled The Other N-Word, and you will see it there, Los Angeles Nicotine, it's on the screen there. You'll see it. But the Conscious Living Expo, Conscious Life Expo. I did The Other N Word is the presentation. It is 383 slides. And when you click it, I actually take you through why it is the FDA in 1994 had to lie to the entire world that nicotine is addictive. In 1994 is when they started telling this lie. 3 months after our United States Congress asked the 7 CEOs of all tobacco giants to come into Washington, D.C. and under oath swear that nicotine is not addictive. And wow. All 7 of them, with the threat of perjury by the Oregon senator, all raise their hand to the square and say, under threat of perjury, we swear nicotine is not addictive. 3 months later, the FDA started lying to everybody and has been lying ever since that nicotine is addictive. Now, in 1990, 51% of all Americans were smoking. Adults. 51% of all Americans were smoking. In this presentation, I take audiences through why it is they had to lie to you since 1994 that nicotine in tobacco products is addictive. And it is a lie. And I actually show that they lied every single year since 1994 until now. Why does they keep lying to you? In 2015, I also show in this presentation that Harvard conducted a study, then published it, that nicotine is not addictive and is not the chemical in tobacco products that even makes their products addictive. They actually went through 7 million pages of research and development documents of the tobacco industry that the FDA had and all the tobacco giants had on their websites on how they developed their tobacco cigarettes and their tobacco snuff. And ever since the 70s, Harvard discovered in their review of 7 million pages of the tobacco giant stuff, right there, Colton, they published this study. And the title of Harvard's study reads, A Study of Pyrazines in Cigarettes and How Additives to Cigarettes Might Be Used to Enhance Tobacco Addiction. And in this study, if you go to the next slide, you will see what their summary reads. Their summary reads, well, actually, this is the very first sentence of their summary is what you're looking at on the screen. Nicotine, as you read in that statement, nicotine is actually more aversive and actually is keeping people from using tobacco products than it being addictive. If you go to the next page here, you will read that pyrazines are chemicals that tobacco giants are adding to tobacco products since the 1970s to create addiction and to create learning behaviors that you cannot resist or refuse. And it is not nicotine. And in this study, Harvard states they should start regulating pyrazine chemicals from being added to tobacco products in America, not nicotine. It's in here. In this statement, the Harvard scientists say the FDA should start regulating pyrazines being added to products. They use it in this study. They proclaim, you can see all the highlighted information right here on this study. but I actually show you all the most important things and statements they're making about pyrazines, these man-made chemicals that when you inhale them into your nose, they go into your brain and instantly create addictions. Instantly, when they hit the parts of your brain called the olfactory bulb, and that is what that statement on the screen right now is talking about, that pyrazines touch the olfactory nerve responsible for smells. They use pyrazines to create chemical addictions. I guarantee it's in all of your pulpary stuff that people are using. Those little scent things you're putting into your wall sockets to emit fumes. Guarantee you those Johnson & Johnson products have pyrazines in them to make you addicted to those scents. They're using it to make vaping products and cigarettes addictive. And that's exactly what they're using. So inside this document, you also learned that the FDA has approved 599 chemicals. There's the 15 pyrazines on the right-hand side of the screen that they are adding to every tobacco product. That's what you're seeing there on the list. But they actually tell you that there's 599 chemicals right there on the screen. Pyrazines are a class of chemosensory agents that make up 15 of the 599 compounds on the list of cigarette ingredients.
Wow.
Okay. Did you know they're adding 599 ingredients or compounds, chemicals to every tobacco product? And why are they blaming nicotine, which is found to be a natural substance in that plant, as the culprit that is the bad guy?
Why would they do this?
And why has nobody ever heard of pyrazines? Number two, why is not a pyrazine warning label on everything? Because I guarantee, there's a nicotine warning. Surgeon General warns, So nobody's heard of pyrazines.
Yep, because they don't want you to know the truth that it is not nicotine. Now, nicotine is not addictive. Everyone has been lied to, even though the FDA, like I show you in this presentation, they show you every label of any product containing nicotine, that nicotine is the addictive substance. In 2022, just 2 years ago, you'll see in this presentation, the FDA decides to come out and create another document of their assurity that it's nicotine that makes the tobacco products addictive. And the whole title of the article that's in the presentation states, nicotine is the addictive agent responsible for addiction of tobacco products. I mean, you couldn't get more ridiculous. It is not what makes things addictive. This assault on nicotine by the media and by governments worldwide is because the cat is out of the bag. Cigarette smokers, people that use tobacco products and use nicotine agents, were the most protected from getting COVID than any other group of people in the entire world. There was no group of people who had less amounts of deaths and hospitalizations than current smokers and users of tobacco.
Which makes no sense, because it was supposed to be a respiratory issue. And so smokers, you would think that would be a major problem. Nope. That's not what we saw.
And is it true, but the lungs of a smoker, like all these things, probably were a detriment going into COVID. Is that accurate? But the nicotine,
so all the chemicals, the 599 other chemicals added to tobacco products would create damage to their lungs. But even overriding those damaging chemicals and toxic chemicals, what little bit of nicotine is in every cigarette was protecting these people from ever getting sick with COVID. And this was known and published why it was working in April of 2020, you guys. That's 4 years ago. It was published by the French researchers that the spike proteins of COVID are two neurotoxic snake venom proteins, and they target nicotine receptors. And they stated, this is why smokers around the world aren't getting sick from COVID, and why it is they're not dying from COVID. And governments around the world need to start using nicotine agents, gum and patches, they said, to end the pandemic in their countries. What did all governments around the world the very next week do in May of 2020? We talked about it on your show. That's when the FDA, the HHS, Health and Human Services, the NIH, all started doing interviews in the media, telling the world a great big lie that smokers were the most affected by COVID and were dying worldwide. That wasn't true. They just flat out lied to you. And then they said nonstop ever since, there's no better time to quit smoking, America, than right now. Smokers are at the highest risk for COVID. Well, why were they lying? There was no scientific study on earth that said smokers were at the highest risk for COVID. In fact, every single study confirmed it was exactly the opposite. They had to lie to you. Why? Smokers weren't getting sick, and they would never sign up for the vaccine agenda, and they needed people signing up for the vaccine agenda. So it was an injection in every single arm. That was the whole goal of COVID. And they needed to kill a whole bunch of old people with remdesivir, midazolam, morphine in hospitals and nursing homes all around the world. to lie to you that COVID was killing people. So you would be scared. You would lock yourself down, wear masks, mm-hmm. and inject yourself in Home Depot parking lots by people that don't even know how to use syringes. But you all volunteered yourselves and your families and loved ones with a bunch of toxic suggestions and recommendations. Anyway, it was a total setup, total lie.
Ugh, okay, so moving forward with this knowledge out, what does this look like on a daily basis? Because if they've had this information for a long time, and there's obviously an assault on this ingredient, what is the move going forward? And you know, I mean, I've heard you talk about, you know, celery and tomatoes and even potatoes, a lot of things, you know, contain this. Can people overcome this with just a massive influx of that in their diet? Like, what's the move for people when you get this into this kind of information?
Yeah, I love it. It's actually in the presentation that is free to everybody, and you can download at thedrartistshow.com. But that is a great question. So where do we go from there? So in England, what I was warning everybody about was, look, they've already taken nicotine gum and patches off the shelves. We had to ship cases of them before we left on a plane to get there for the audiences to be able to have access to these. I mean, it was the fastest thing that sold out. As soon as we laid them out there, of course, everybody in England wanted the nicotine gums.
Yeah.
So that was fun to provide them those things, which was great. So anyway, I said, they're already taking this stuff from you. They're telling you you're not going to be able to get access to any of right. this by the year 2030 whatsoever in this country. Cigarette, snuff, patches, gums, it doesn't matter. They're going to destroy nicotine products commercially 100%. So then I showed the audiences, remember, nicotine is not a toxic drug, addictive drug. It's actually a nutrient. But they've been making it out to be a bad villain, and it is not. It is a nutrient found in many plants. Not just the tobacco plant. Every plant you see on the screen has high amounts of nicotine in it. Eggplants have the second highest amount of nicotine of any plant on earth. And if you keep going down, one more slide, this is a summary slide of some of the highest content of nicotine in veggies. You'll see eggplant has the highest amount for the list of vegetables. You'll also see pureed tomatoes. And green tomatoes have the second highest amounts of nicotine. So there are multiple vegetables. Your nightshade vegetables have the highest amounts of nicotine, period. And there are studies that actually prove that there are many diseases that can be improved if individuals just eat high nicotine-containing veggies, such as Parkinson's disease, such as, there we go right there. Can dietary nicotine help fight Parkinson's disease? And if you go to the next slide, very first sentence, they highlight that there are a number of studies that support that dietary nicotine, eating nicotine from vegetables, can slow down, reverse, or even cure Parkinson's disease. Man. Now, this entire presentation, by the way, is based on this statement on the screen right now by Joseph Goebbels. The whole presentation starts out with the father of propaganda of the Nazis' Third Reich regime. Hitler's father of propaganda mm-hmm. is famously known for stating, if you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. Mm-hmm. What's the lie I'm telling you here? Nicotine is addictive, is the lie. This has been repeated every day in the majority of all people, and why so many people ask y'all about this topic is because you've all been told a different story mm-hmm. your whole life, that nicotine is addictive and toxic and bad for you and causes cancer. No, it doesn't. But you've all been lied to. I've been lied to. We all believed it, sure. but we never asked for the evidence to support that narrative, probably because we all just hate the way tobacco smoke smells. And so mm-hmm. anything that got rid of a nasty stinking thing out of our life and out of our airplanes and out of our restaurants and bars, the better. Get it out of here. It's gross. So that fit that narrative and allowed us to dismiss it. But you have to understand, nicotine also has been bastardized for a massive benefit to the pharmaceutical drug industry. Mm-hmm. In this presentation, I actually show you not only is nicotine being destroyed and lied about 24/7 in the media and by your medical professionals, that it is addictive and causes cancer. Not only are they lying to you about that in preparations for the pandemic they called COVID-19. And yes, saying nicotine is addictive and toxic and dangerous is a part of the plan all along for COVID-19. to be able to be successful as an agenda. Since 1994, they've been working on this agenda with nicotine. Nicotine was the most powerful antidote to their snake venom laced, spike protein laced virus they called COVID-19. And they knew it since way before 1994. All right. So the second reason why they had to lie to you is a part of Joseph Goebbels' next statement. He states in his, that actual quote, the lie itself has to be by the state. The state has to use all of its powers to repress dissent from allowing the masses to find out the economic, political, and military consequences of that lie. Well, the economic benefits of this lie lies on what all politicians and healthcare agencies around the world and governments benefit financially from the drug industry. Lying to the world that nicotine is addictive is serving the drug companies of this world more than any other industry. And in this presentation, I show you that they have known that nicotine can be a preventative agent, even from tobacco products, as a cure for multiple sclerosis, Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, ulcerative colitis, arthritis. I mean, how many people are being treated with drugs
for
arthritis in this country and around the world? Nicotine is a cure for that. Did you know nicotine is a cure for sepsis? Did you know that nicotine in any product, food or patches or gums or injection, has been used to cure mammals of type 1 diabetes for decades? I mean, how much insulin is being sold to people not being told that nicotine found in those plants could be a potential cure for your type 1 diabetes insulin production problem? Why doesn't any endocrinologist who treats a diabetic, how come they've never been told in a single medical journal, medical conference, or any class that nicotine was found to be a cure for type 1 diabetics? Why haven't they been told that? So that is a massive racket. What about the fact that nicotine, in the presentations I show you, the most common brain tumor right now being diagnosed in the world is called glioblastoma. The cells in the brainstem responsible for a brain tumor are called astrocytes. The term turbo cancer in brain tumors, they're talking about that one, glioblastomas.
Okay.
Did you know that glioblastomas during the pandemic, while we were all being locked down, they were creating glioblastomas in 72 hours or less by injecting mammals with king cobra venom and cone snail venom within 72 hours. The same venoms found in every COVID-19 positive patient out of Italy in June of 2020. 36 different venoms, cone snail venoms, and king cobra venoms were a huge part of those. All right. They took those same mammals after creating a brain tumor, glioblastoma, in less than 72 hours. And while we were all being locked down, they were injecting those same animals with 3 days worth of nicotine and dissolved every brain tumor by half in just 3 days with nicotine.
Wow.
So you can dissolve brain tumors with nicotine. Oh my God. Seriously. Did you know that they've done studies for decades that they can actually reverse the violent behavior and the antisocial behavior of autistic adults and children with nicotine patches?
Really?
Yeah. How many drugs are being prescribed to the autistic spectrum children? How many medications are being prescribed to arthritis victims, digestive inflammatory conditions like ulcerative colitis, neurological diseases like MS, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's? And I show the audiences three studies that schizophrenia is cured with nicotine. I mean, how many drugs are schizophrenics on?
Being institutionalized.
It makes sense then you would have an entire nation banning this product like the UK. You know, so, you know, whatever's happening there, usually it's a little bit of a slow roll to get it, you know, to take effect here in America. But you can see this is a trend. And so with this as a marker, if they're going against it so aggressively, an incentive could be, you know, big pharma, their benefits from these symptoms existing because they have alternate solutions. But would this be because there would be future intentions and plans? And if this is out there, their subsequent follow-ups and sequels to what we experienced in 2020 would be less effective?
1,000,000%, I believe that this warning about the evidence that nicotine was the cure for the COVID-19 2019 experiment, which I believe this whole pandemic was a 3.5 year experiment to see how all the masses responded to a biological weapon using plasmids laced with venom genetics to make you sick and make venom in your body and make you all sick and call it a respiratory virus. Yes, I believe they wanted to know how good did we do at controlling the truth from getting out? Mm-hmm. How long were we able to submit most people to submit themselves to the lies we were feeding them through the mainstream media? And how many people fell for, within a few years even, of the same pummeling of propaganda? How many percentages of the citizens of each nation succumbed and volunteered themselves to be injected with a vaccine that was never proven safe or effective? I do believe this was just the experiment. I do believe the number one threat to that agenda was nicotine. And this is why all governments at the same time, within 2 months of my Watch the Water documentary coming out, with millions around the world seeing that I listed the antidote all along was nicotine, within 2 months, in the same week, England, Canada, America, New Zealand, and Australia all at the same time announced new national health agendas to get nicotine products out of circulation commercially for all of their citizens. Joe Biden just 3 months ago came out and said, I am now the first president in the United States history that will now lower the allowed amount of just nicotine in tobacco products. He's going to lower it and cap it right now. So, wow. Yes, there is only one assault on a natural product right now around the world by governments everywhere because they know it got in the way of making people, of allowing people to get sick, to succumb to the agenda. And so I want to say this. I am wearing right now a 3 milligram nicotine patch, and I will for the rest of my life every single day. And if you want to know why, it's because the governments are secretly doing studies confirming what snake venom peptides, little sequences of synthetic venoms, do in the human body when they bind to every single nicotine receptor in the human body. And now every government is coming to take this away from you, and you have organizations like the World Economic Forum, the Club of Rome, writing documents since the 1960s that by the year 2030 and by the year 2050, there is a depopulation agenda, and we need to reach 1 billion people only remaining on this earth by the year 2050. And 2030 comes up in their documents as a benchmark to that depopulation agenda. So when they say we are going to take out these national health agendas and all of these have to be strictly enforced, no more commercial tobacco products available by the year 2030. You don't think I want you paying attention? This is what they're going after. They're not coming after you for your ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine to make that illegal. No, they didn't do that. No, they're only coming after nicotine that is over the counter and nutrients inside of your foods. And then you start wondering, why does every human being, you two, who's ever been diagnosed with an arthritis of any kind, gouty arthritis, psoriatic arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, osteoarthritis, do you know every single one of those patients worldwide are told by their medical doctors to take steroids? And then these words come out of their mouth 100% of the time. Mary, Billy, now that you have arthritis for the rest of your life, sorry, there's nothing you can do about it. But you need to avoid eating a specific food group because those foods can increase your pain.
Yes.
And what do they tell you? Yes, I've heard it.
They say avoid nightshade vegetables. Well, guess which ones?
It's become very popular.
Guess which ones are the only ones that have high amounts of nicotine to reverse inflammation of all diseases. In fact, in the presentation, I show you that nicotine is published over and over and over to have more anti-inflammatory benefits, so it turns off inflammation, than it does pro-inflammatory actions. So this is why all these inflammatory diseases, including, I show the whole world, you two, myocarditis. During the pandemic, they were studying if we inject viruses in animals, will it cause myocarditis? And they could create, with a Coxsackie virus, a myocarditis animal in less than 72 hours by injecting it with this virus. They know they can create myocarditis with viruses, okay? In the study, they then took nicotine and gave the animals 3 days of nicotine. And by day 14, the damage to their heart muscle and the scarring called myocarditis was completely reversed with nicotine.
Wow.
How many cardiologists are recommending nicotine patches or nicotine gum to cure myocarditis?
Zero, I'm assuming.
Zero. There is a reason they're studying this stuff while they were locking us down. They needed to make sure you knew what was the antidote. And here is the study. A dose dependent. So as they increase the amount of nicotine, protective effect of nicotine against myocarditis and scarring. And I even show the evidence that nicotine reverses all of the damage from the virus in the heart muscle cells through biopsies. Within 14 days, they completely reverse all damage called myocarditis, which, by the way, myocarditis, for everybody listening, has a supposedly 50% mortality rate in 5 years from diagnosis. And nicotine can cure it in 3 days.
Wow. Okay. So how much, Dr. Artis, in the presentation, do you have how much people were taking in the studies and how much you recommend people take?
Oh, yeah. If you slide down to the next slide in this presentation on the screen, I actually get into this. So keep going down. I actually highlight in here in the study what's the amount that they used. And it's a few slides down, highlighted in blue. It's actually 0.2 milligrams for every 2.2 pounds of body weight. So if you just closed your eyes and wrote this down, what is your weight in pounds? Divide that by 2.2, which is a kilogram. And then you multiply that number times 0.2. 0.2 to 0.4 milligrams for every 2.2 pounds is the curing dose for myocarditis in less than 14 days. So you take your weight in pounds, divide that by 2.2 pounds, multiply that times 0.2. That gives you the milligrams of nicotine. Up to, you could multiply that number to times 0.4. That would be the highest dose of nicotine they used. When they used less than the dose I just gave you, it did not reverse the myocarditis. It was only when they gave the animals 0.2 milligrams for every 2.2 pounds of body weight. And I do want to say this. If you have a loved one with myocarditis and you don't have them on nicotine, shame on anybody who tried to talk you out of that, because nicotine is a cure. I just showed you the studies. And anybody who ever says, don't listen to Dr. Artis, that's an animal study. Well, I can show you that the only reason scientists actually publish and write that they study drugs and chemicals in animals before they do human trials is because every mammal on earth, including mice, have the exact same genes that humans do, 100%. So if the chemical or a drug is going to do something to a mammal or a mouse, they write emphatically, I quote, it will happen in a human the exact same way. So this study where they injected a virus to cause an animal, a mouse, to have myocarditis in just 72 hours or less, and then they injected various amounts of nicotine over a three-day period and reversed all damage to the heart tissue with biopsies, they show you. You can be 100% convinced that if you'll use a dose anywhere within your body's weight in pounds divided by 2.2 pounds, multiply that by 0.2 and or 0.4, you will get the two doses, the range at which you want to use nicotine patches or gum within a 24-hour period every single day for 14 days. It just so happens these doses are the exact same dose they use to cure brain tumors. They're also the same dosage of nicotine that they use to cure long hauler COVID patients. It's the same dose they use to calm down autistic adults and children. It's what they're using to cure type 1 diabetes in animals. It's the same dose.
Same dose.
There's a same reason why it is in every study, the same dose is working, and the same reason why it is all the governments around the world are assaulting nicotine. I personally confirmed over the last 2 years that science publishes that every virus known to man, influenza, coronaviruses, HIV viruses, rabies viruses, measles viruses, rubella viruses, doesn't matter, polio viruses, I've had to confirm and look up, do they know that every virus on earth targets the same nicotine receptor? And they publish yes. Therefore, nicotine and nicotine agents stand in the way of every single viral vaccine on earth. So The antidote all along to all viruses was actually nicotine. Now you understand the assault on the plant that provides the nutrient protection from all viruses on Earth.
Okay, so how about
that's the reason why they're coming after you.
Dr. Artis, you were talking about maintenance, that you wear that patch and you will for the rest of your life. Is it the dose the same for maintenance as well? If somebody's going to wear it and they're like, I'm just going to wear this. I don't even have the long haul COVID. I don't have any of those kind of things. I'm just going to protect myself. Would they be the same? Would that be the same dosage?
Yes. And I actually recommend for most people, if they've never tried any nicotine product, I always tell them to try for the first week 1 milligram. And it's either you can buy a 2 milligram piece of gum and cut it in half or bite it in half, or you can buy patches and cut them down into smaller pieces. Like they come in 7 milligram patches, 14 milligrams and 21 milligrams only. The 7 milligram patches is what was used for all of these studies to reverse long hauler COVID and other things. This is Tucker Carlson having delivered his favorite nicotine pouches he can suck on. The size of the Statue of Liberty's probably own cartridge is in, I guess. That's nicotine pouches. That's hilarious. So anyway, that is so funny. But anyway, this is an example of products that are being used around the world to prevent and cure people of all kinds of diseases. Oh, I have to tell you, in Los Angeles, 2 months ago, a couple was sitting on the front row when I walked in the building, came running to the back to say hi to me. The wife is crying. They're probably in their 70s. But the wife is crying, saying she only flew down with her husband from Alaska for this 2-hour presentation to listen to me. And then they were flying right back to Alaska. And I said, well, that's really awesome. Thank you for coming down. I hope you get a lot out of this presentation. She goes, oh, no. I just came to tell you thank you. You know, she's crying through her tears. Wow. She said, I saw an interview you did last August about Parkinson's disease and these different studies that included nicotine patches being used to cure Parkinson's. She said, my husband was diagnosed with Parkinson's 6 years ago and our entire life has been wrecked trying to help with his muscle movements and his memory. She said, we watched your documentary. I went and bought nicotine patches. He wore them for 7 days. He wears them every day still. She said, but I just started with the 7 milligram nicotine patches. And Dr. Artis, by day 7, all of his Parkinson's symptoms disappeared. And he has now been told by his neurologist he no longer has Parkinson's. So she's there to tell me that just doing those interviews, how much of an impact it has had on her physical marriage and life.
How?
And her husband was, in her words, cured of Parkinson's within 2 weeks of starting nicotine patches and just was there to give me their gratitude. And I said, well, you're going to love this presentation because I was asked to come talk about the health benefits of nicotine. And that's what the other N word is. And in there, I show 3 different studies of Parkinson's being cured with nicotine, either from plants or from agents, and schizophrenia being reversed and MS being reversed and prevented. In fact, the MS studies are interesting. Multiple sclerosis, anybody? MS, they state, they actually interviewed and followed everybody in Sweden. They wanted to just follow tobacco snuff users for their entire life to see, do tobacco snuff users, do they have less probability of being diagnosed with neurological diseases like MS? So this is what they wanted to know. This is what they found. They said, we didn't give them a dose that they could use or not use of nicotine or snuff or tobacco. We just wanted to follow the snuff users because scientists were reporting 20 years ago that tobacco users don't get MS. So these people were starting to do these studies on, is there some protective effect of tobacco? Well, in the study, you can see it in the presentation. They said what was interesting was not only did the snuff users never develop MS, their risk went down even further exponentially if they not only snuffed and sucked on tobacco products in their lips, but if they would smoke tobacco at the same time. The more tobacco they used, the less likely they were to develop any MS. And then there's another study, you two, where they follow just identical twins all around the world who obviously have the identical DNA. Now, just so everyone knows, Alzheimer's patients, Parkinson's patients, MS patients, any of you who have been diagnosed with that, or you know somebody who has, you've all been lied to and you've all been told that this is an inherited genetic defect. You have inherited this condition from your parents or grandparents, aunts, uncles. It's somewhere in your lineage. So these scientists decided they were going to study the whole world's identical twins, and they wanted to know, do identical twins, one who is a smoker and one who is not, is there a propensity for both to develop Parkinson's, or is there one group or the other who doesn't? 100% of the time, the identical twin who is a chronic cigarette smoker are the only ones that never are diagnosed with Parkinson's. It's only the twin who doesn't use tobacco.
Wow.
So this is a reason why you all need to be lied to about nicotine. There are so many drugs being prescribed to all of these conditions for life. If you can just tell enough lies from people in white coats to people on TV and Dr. Oz and Dr. Phil and all of them that are in the doctor show, if you can just get the lie told enough that this is a genetic disorder, there's nothing you can do about it. If you can get Oprah Winfrey to come on stage and say that being overweight is a genetic disorder, we can sell more of our Gila Monster venom-laced Ozempic drugs and Wegovy drugs, but we're not going to tell them which ones you're using, and we're not going to relate that this is dangerous and causes cancer to everybody. We're just going to keep that hidden, and we just want you to continue to trust the drugs are better than nature, and they never have been. And in nature, man, God gave us nicotine and multiple plants. Medicine has lied to you that it is dangerous and toxic when it is not. And they also have kept hidden from you that there are vegetables that you eat every day and are not addicted to. Not a single human on earth. None of you have ever had withdrawal symptoms after eating tomatoes.
No.
None of you have had withdrawal symptoms after celeries at a church function or a work function. You never woke up with sweats in the middle of the night because you're missing the cauliflower you had 3 hours earlier. These products are not addictive. Nicotine is not addictive. Pyrazines are not in vegetables. They're only in commercially made nicotine products. So if you want to break your addiction, stop using the commercials.
So
this is huge.
You go to drartistshow.com and have those slides. We'll put a direct link, whatever platform. If you're on Podbean or Apple or Rumble, wherever you're watching or listening to this, we'll have the links in the show notes below to go directly to that place on his website. He also has supplements and information. You get a discount on everything at the Dr. Artist Show by using promo code FLYOVER. So it gives you a discount in addition to the things that are available there.
And April the 24th, you have a free, it doesn't cost any money whatsoever, FLYOVER family, Healing for the Ages. So it's virtual. Go to Dr. Brian Artist, Dr. Brian Artist Show.com. No, the Dr. Artist Show.com. When you get there, you can see it right there, Healing for the Ages. Click on that. And it will
April 24th. You watch it in the comfort of your own home. Sit there and watch it in your underwear. You don't get dressed up and go out to do this. But these guys are making information available that can change the course of your life. Truly, and this is a season where people need to take personal responsibility for their health, their children's education, your finances, all the important areas. You're like, well, I don't know. My doctor said, I don't know. This professor said. They're making the information available so you, as an intelligent adult, can have the data to chart a course for yourself. Dr. Artist, I love it.
As always, mind blown. Thank you so much for your time.
You are the best.
We really love you and appreciate you. This is a crazy time to be alive.
Well, just in our lifetime, used to be where you'd hear your grandparents talk about how cheap gas was and stuff, and it was 75 years before, 50 years, you know, before.
And so we've seen a lot of changes since Biden took office. $700 more a month
than what you needed in January of 21 when he took office.
You might hear these kind of things and think, oh, that's overwhelming. I can't control the government. I can't control what they're doing. I can't control the spending. But we can take care of ourselves.
You want to make sure that you're buying bullion from somebody that you can trust and someone that does not charge you a commission when you go to sell.
If there's going to be a commission, have it on the front end, not the back end when it skyrockets. And now you're like, oh my gosh, look at this big, huge commission I got to pay because it's on the back end before I sell it.
You can buy an ounce of silver for $23. So this is something everybody can get into. And if silver goes to $50, if it goes to $75, if it goes to $100, all of those profits are yours. And that's happening while the dollar is buying less and less at the actual grocery store.
So you can go to flyovergold.com, fill out your information. When you do that, someone from Dr. Kirk's team will get a hold of you to set up a free consultation. It doesn't cost you any money whatsoever. Or to do the same thing, you can just call 720-605-3900. You know what time it is. It's time for an economic update with Dr. Kirk Elliott.
All right, Doc,
how are you people doing?
Great.
People on the edge of their seats, man. This is,
oh, wow. You've
never been more relevant, maybe in your life. This is an amazing window.
Everybody's looking at you like our dog Reagan looks at David when he's eating popcorn.
Yeah, like a.
This is just God's blessing. I mean, the impact and influence is just exploding.
It is.
And to me, it's like, all right, we've been right. I mean, there's no bones about it, but it's just Holy Spirit empowerment, understanding trends. It's not rocket science. It's really not. When governments run out of money, they start to do crazy things. When they start to do crazy things, they print more money. Now the rest of the world hates America. They're dumping U.S. treasuries. They're buying gold. They're hiding it. The Fed is like telling, you know, Congress to go take a flying leap. We're not going to give you any information. It's like, what? The world's gone crazy, right? And those are some of the things I want to go over. But the bottom line is, and we've seen this in the making for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And now it's right in front of us. It's like, yeah, we've been talking about this for 2 years. And when it happens, it's like, I can't believe it's here. I'm partly in that boat myself. Even though I've been talking about it for 2 years, it's like, right. Man, it's like, I don't think anybody understands, including you all, including myself, the magnitude of what's about to happen, right? Because even though we've been talking about it, when you look at what's happened to the price of gold and the price of silver, people think, well, is it just supply and demand? Yes. However, it's been a shift globally from the West to the East on who owns gold. So if you look at charts, which I want to look at them, but I want to cover a couple of things first, is China owns the majority of the world's gold now. And this is all, you know, new reports coming out, and we're looking at it. It's like, if they own the majority of it, do they want the prices to be lower to be high? They want it to be high.
Definitely. Right?
So when we had the majority of it, and we were, you know, we wanted it to keep buying it at these low prices. Now that they already own it, they want the prices to go through the roof because they're trying to be the world's reserve currency. And what have you seen now? There's not as much price fixing. There's countries are wanting to repatriate their gold. That China's got all this massive unsubstantiated because they don't report it, but like 30,000 tons of gold, not the 5,000 tons that you know, global officials are saying. Mm-hmm. I bet it's 30,000. Well, yeah, you're going to want prices to go high. There's no more price fixing. Shanghai Gold Exchange doesn't allow for short selling. It's like, dude, no wonder, because they knew what they were doing over the last decade, amassing tons and tons and tons and thousands of tons and tens of thousands of tons of gold. So now people are shocked that the price is going up. I don't think they should be shocked at all that the price is going up, because it's in their best interest to make that happen. So okay, you've got this.
Kirk, can I clarify? When you say we a moment ago, just for our listeners, no. When you say we, you don't mean you and Stacy and I or your firm. When you say we, you're referring to America.
America,
our political strategy versus China versus the globalist, how they're positioning against each other on the risk board.
Yeah. So Martin Armstrong actually did this article a couple weeks ago, not this one that's on the screen, but he wrote an article about why are central banks buying gold? Well, why are they buying gold? Dude, producer Colton, you're a genius.
He's really good.
That's pretty good.
So why are they buying gold? This goes back to Biden and Putin. When Russia attacked Ukraine and Biden said, I'm going to do the nuclear option and I'm going to cause Russia to go into the get out of the SWIFT system. So no more banking for them. Right. So Russia went to China to be part of their SWIFT system called SIPS and really created that union of the BRICS nations. And they didn't create it. It was already there, but they sure strengthened it because of Biden's stupid actions. Right. So now this war with Ukraine because Biden decides, hey, this Zelensky guy who's actually anti-Christian and is blocking all church services in Ukraine, he's somehow better than Putin. So anyway, that Putin's getting ticked, right? And so what did Biden do politically? He froze their assets. He froze all of their gold, like almost a trillion dollars worth of gold, said you can't have it. Right.
So wow.
The rest of the world is saying, we don't want this Biden guy to freeze our assets because he doesn't like us, or they're weaponizing the US dollar. So now all these countries are starting to pull gold away from the Fed. And this is a very interesting thing, because this is why we're seeing a mass exodus of gold out of the West and into the East. So this is causing supply and demand issues. Well, how bad is it? So there's research that I found that shows the net flows of gold from the West to the East. And you know what it says? It says that since April of last year, China added 100 and these are just reported numbers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think the unreported numbers are substantially higher. But China has 160 tons of gold, India 80, Turkey 862, Saudi Arabia, part of BRICS, now 20. Look at America, minus 136.
How?
So because that's the gold flow that we used to have that's being repatriated and going to these other countries. So China's amassing all the gold and they're taking the stuff back because they said, look, we're not going to be caught the way that Russia was. And they basically froze their assets. I think all these countries are starting to do the same, plus buying gold. And America's at minus 136. That's almost exactly the opposite of China. That's plus 160, we're 136. So this caused Congress to go to the Fed and say, Freedom of Information Act, we want to know how many countries are pulling out their gold, who it is and how much. And what did Jerome Powell say? He thumbed his nose at them and said,
pound sand.
I don't care if it's a Freedom of Information Act, we're not telling you. Said, if you want to know the information, you have to go to the New York Fed, and the New York Fed's not going to tell you, so therefore you're not going to get the information.
This is Congress asking him. This isn't like, my cousin trying to find out. This is the elected officials that we have representing our interests as a people.
Yes.
Asking Trump.
So to be in contempt of Congress, which is breaking the law, evidently the Fed is above that. But why would they go to great lengths to not even comply with a FOIA and say, we're not telling you? It's because they know that they don't want people to know how much gold is actually leaving the West and going to the East, because it spells death and destruction for the Western financial system as we know it. Right? I mean, so this is why things like this are happening. So let's look at some charts that I sent over to you earlier. So there's one called Dollars Out, Gold In. What are the central banks around the world doing? They're getting rid of U.S. treasuries. And we always have to ask, well, so, okay, so they're getting out. That's only one side of the equation. What are they doing with the proceeds, right? Maybe they're sitting in their own currency. Maybe they're buying other people's currency. No, they're not. They're buying gold, right? So they're getting out of treasuries, going into gold. Russia did this a few years ago. A few years ago, Putin got rid of all U.S. treasuries, like literally 100%. Russia owns no more U.S. treasuries. But what did they do? Did they sit in the ruble? No, because the ruble stinks too. They went into gold. Now, Russia has like 1,000 tons of gold and zero allocated into the U.S. treasuries. Signal. That should have been a signal a few years ago as to what was coming. And it was. We talked about it. I mean, I remember talking about it back then. But that's where we're headed. Now, it gets worse than that. It's not just Russia. Let's look at China. China's U.S. treasury holdings. Look at how they've declined. From 1.4 trillion down to like 820 billion. So they're under $1 trillion for the first time in well over a decade. They're getting rid of it hand over fist.
And Kirk, there's more dollars than ever now as well, right? I heard Patrick Van David, he was at a live conference, and he made this statement. I don't know exactly the date of this event, but I saw it. He said like 40% of the U.S. dollars didn't exist like 18 months ago, 2 years ago. Like 40% of our currency didn't even exist 2 years ago.
Correct. Well, just in this year's budget, we're going to go $3 trillion in debt. I mean, who in their right mind would say, okay, let's say, David, that you're this financial genius and you're telling Stacey, I got our budget for this year. We're going to spend $730,000. And she says, but we only make $400,000. What are you thinking? We can't spend more than what we make. And we only make $400,000. You're going to spend $730,000. Now add a bunch of zeros to that because that's Biden's budget, spending $7.3 trillion. We only bring in about $4 trillion. And somehow people think that this is a good idea. Mm. So to put that into perspective, that's $3 trillion in the hole in 1 year. It took from 1776 until 1980 to just generate $1 trillion worth of debt. 204 years it took us to accumulate $1 trillion. And Biden wants to add $3 trillion on this year's budget. And Congress rubber stamps it and says, this is great. Let's do it. It's like, what are they thinking? Right? This is absolutely bonkers and insane. So because of those kind of stupid policy actions, the rest of the world now is dumping U.S. dollars. Because they realize, oh, without the reserve currency status that now the BRICS nations have, for all intents and purposes, stealing the petrodollar away from us. Actually, they didn't steal it. They just had a better plan than we did because we print money like there's no tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Central banks are dumping dollars all over the world. I mean, look at this chart. I mean, the percentages are almost irrelevant. Just look at the picture.
So we're creating more dollars. And they're getting rid of dollars at the same time.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a bad combo.
So who owns those dollars? If the rest of the world's getting rid of them and we're printing them like mad, the Fed owns them. They're the buyer of last resort. So the Fed's balance sheet is absolutely toxic because they own all these worthless U.S. treasuries because nobody else will buy them. And the story that always comes every single week at treasury auctions is hey, we sold all the U.S. treasuries. The demand for the U.S. dollar is strong. It's like, no, who's the buyer? Is it China? Nope. Is it Japan? Nope. Is it Europe? Nope. Is it anybody around the world? Nope. Well, who's buying them then? The Fed, with money that they print out of thin air. To me, that's not a real buyer. But they're going to spread the message of there's demand for the U.S. treasuries because every single auction goes completely 100% fulfilled. But nobody's asking the real question of who's buying this stuff. It's the Fed with money that they're printing out of thin air. So their balance sheet's absolutely toxic, right? Just toxic with something that's going to go away. It's like, well, why would they want it to go away? Why would they shoot themselves in the foot?
Good question.
Well, because they have a different plan. They're the ones that are ushering in central bank digital currency, which is going to control every aspect of every person's life. To me, it's the mark of the beast. And so when they're going to usher in the new system, they're still in control, except it's better control because it's digital and they can track everything. So they don't care if they get rid of their old system. They're killing their old baby so they can have a new baby. That's how I look at it. They're still the same people in charge, but this is really ugly and insidious. And so then there's another chart on there. That let's see, dollars in, dollars out, gold flows to the east. Oh, I don't think I put it in there. But so what else is happening is it's not just China that's buying gold. It's not just China. When you look around the world, it's mostly the BRICS nations, but most of the Western nations are getting rid of it. It's like, most of the nations like Canada, the United Kingdom, they're not holding gold for other countries. They're not having repatriation from there. They're just getting rid of it because they know that their time in the sun is done. There's a power shift from the West to the East.
Wow.
And they need money to survive. Their entitlements have overtaken their revenue. They're not the world's reserve currency. They're forced to sell good assets to pay off bad. See, this is what's happening all around the globe. And what do we get to do? Yeah, look at that chart right there. Thanks, Colton, for bringing that up. But what then we do? We do the same thing that they're doing. They're buying gold because they know that that's where their strength. Now, I'm not buying gold. I'm buying silver because silver is outpacing gold by a lot. It's equally as safe, and silver and gold tend to rise together, but silver, because of the manufacturing demand for it, is going to rise faster. So we're allocated into silver. And we should spend an entire show on why we're in silver and what that's going to do in people's portfolios when we mm-hmm. start to do a rainbow trade into gold.
That would
people
be fun.
Will be blown away. And there's a method to our madness of why we go into silver when all these central banks are going into gold. And the quick answer is because I want to get you more gold for free. That's why. And we leverage silver to get to that point. So these are perilous times we're living in. It's hard to believe that they're right underneath our nose right now when we've been talking about it for a couple of years. But these things happen really, really fast when they start to happen. So I want to encourage everybody who's on the fence, might not have rolled all their stuff into metals yet, whether they're in their mutual funds, old 401ks, whatever. I mean, allocate more. As our family, you know, we like real estate and we're looking at, you know, let's buy some more real estate. You know what I decided last night? It's like, we're not going to buy any more real estate right now. We're going to invest into silver because I still think real estate's going to stay static or come down, and the silver doubles or triples over the next year. I get that house for free, right? So we're allocating into strength, withholding other purchases to take advantage of this trend because it's so strong.
I feel like, Dr. Kirk, as you're talking, when you're in a roller coaster and you're getting ready to hit that first, you know, they on and you're like boom 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 click, boom click, boom click, exactly click, that's how I feel like we're at, and then we're at this top right here and it's like woo, we're getting ready to go down. And I mean, we're seeing that, everybody's feeling it, everybody's very aware of it. So if that's you, flyover family, you're thinking, oh my gosh, I've got to make that move, just go to flyovergold.com. It's a landing page place you can fill out your information, then someone from Dr. Kirk's team will get a hold of you to set up that free consultation. Again, it's free, it doesn't cost you any money to find out your options. Or you can call 720-605-3900 to set a time for that free consultation. Again, it's 720-605-3900. You're going to call that number and then they'll schedule a consultation for you. Dr. Kirk, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for bringing this information.
Yeah.
I mean, you're always very positive about what's going on because you have answers to be able to help us so that we can sleep at night. We really appreciate it.
If you want to do anything worthwhile in life, you've got to be hungry. It's better to be prepared for an opportunity and not have one than to have an opportunity and not be prepared. So every day I was working to develop myself. And that's what you must do.
I promise you one thing. You have never seen any player in the entire country play as hard as I will play the rest of the season.
Get here! Hey, we got 30 minutes for the rest of our life! 30 minutes! 30 minutes! 30 minutes for the rest of our life!
There were none before me and there will be none after me. Therefore, that makes me the one and only. Young and single and love to mingle, certified, bona fide, and doubly qualified to bring you satisfaction, a whole lot of action. Look out, baby, I'm your love man. I was hungry! You gotta be hungry!
Hey, Flyover family, come join us June the 27th and 28th, 2024, in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We're going to be there with Clay Clark and an amazing group of individuals that have made such a difference in so many people's lives.
Do you want to increase your production in a job? Do you want to make more sales? Do you want to own your own business? Do you want to have breakthroughs financially? The key to that is knowledge.
Clay Clark is anointed to help people in business. We've watched him over the last couple of years and we've been blown away. He's part owner of over 160 businesses, $2.4 billion in sales.
So before politics and the Great Reset came into Clay's life, he had the number one rated Apple podcast. And he interviewed people like Anthony Robbins, Seth Godin, the top authors, the top business minds in the world. At this specific event, there's an interesting cast of characters that come from gangs to American Idol.
Some of the guests that are going to be there: Michael Levine, Colton Dixon, Peter Tompkins, John Lee Dumas, Mondo De La Vega,
and Tim Tebow. They're there to share what they've done and their breakthroughs and what their story is. And then Clay lays his map of business success, calls the path for every person to follow.
So you may be sitting there thinking, okay, I get it. What do I have to do? Go to thrivetimeshow.com. When you get there, the tickets are $250 or whatever you can afford. Yes, you got that right. $250 or whatever you can afford. You can name your price. So there are no excuses. You have to join us there. There are only a few VIP tickets left, like David said, special dinner and special time with the speakers. That is $500 why they last. So $500, only a few left if you want a VIP ticket. We want to meet these speakers as well, so we got VIP tickets.
I want to meet Tim Tebow.
I do too. The date is June the 27th and 28th, 2024 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Go to thrivetimeshow.com to get your tickets. And thank you, Flyover family, for joining us today.
Want to mention June 27th, 28th, the business conference in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And you wonder, like, why do we do that? Why do we bring that up? And here's why. There's been a concerted effort to crush businesses in America, mm-hmm. to move everything to big box stores, to the billionaires. We need more of us starting businesses and taking the ones we have and taking them to the next level and thriving. Our whole mission is this, that Americans do better and thrive, and that we literally are moving wealth from the wicked to the righteous. Well, it's hard to do if you're not participating in the free enterprise system. That is what America is about. But you got to know what you're doing so you don't end up like a bug on the windshield. A lot of businesses fail, and a lot of business colleges and they just teach theories. You need to know exactly what you're doing. This is an opportunity to do it. We're going to be there June 27th and 28th in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Sean Baker, Tim Tebow, a whole list of people, but ultimately it's the pathway that Clay Clark has used to teach thousands of business owners to go from good to great. It's not mystical. It's not a mystery. It's a framework and a path that they lay out in detail.
That is exactly right. So you go to thrivetimeshow.com. Just let them know Flyover sent you, and you can get in the drawing for the backstage pass to meet some of the speakers.
It will be a blast.
Mm-hmm. Thanks again for joining us tonight. We bless you. We bless you to realize you were born for such a time as this. We bless you to realize your future is brighter than your past. And we bless you to wake up, speak up, and show up.
Please like and share this episode. We'll see you back here again next time, guys. All right, peace out.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Flyover Conservatives podcast with David and Stacey Whited. Please subscribe, hit the notification bell, and leave us a comment below. Lastly, if you enjoyed today's podcast, share with those who came to mind. Be blessed and make it a great day.